Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, take control of this place. Holy Spirit, this is your time. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your moment. Everyone who has come here, expectant of their situation is. Everyone is going through something. They want breakthrough. They want deliverance. They want your presence, Lord. Let everyone who is here not live the way he came. Jesus, you are a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. Do miracles in your life. We need healing. We need deliverance. We need your hand. We need to experience your power, Lord. Let your spirit come here, Lord. Take control of this place. We magnify you. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We need your presence, Lord. We should not live here the way we came. We want your presence, Lord. Let's feel your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to be before you. We are receiving from you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. My name is Paulson. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mama, for giving me this opportunity again to share the word of God. Greetings from my wife. My wife, she's still in Africa. We have 3 children once again. They sent greetings to you. Thank you for this opportunity. I know what the Lord is going to do in your life today is extraordinary because one day in God's house, in God's presence, is better than 1,000 or 1,000,000 days in the other world. Thank you for that song, because it was preparing our presence in the Lord. Today's topic is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why did Jesus say, tell the apostles or the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until when the Holy Spirit fills you? Have you ever asked yourself? Yet, for the last 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he was moving with the apostles. He appeared many times before him. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it like that? Why is it important that the Holy Spirit must appear, must be in your life? You must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order for you to move, in order for you to do something. Why was it vital? Why is it that in the Bible, when you read, every man, every woman of God, you say, the Spirit of God was upon Joseph. The Spirit of God was upon Daniel. The Spirit of God was upon. Why? What is the logic behind? That's why today I'm trying to explain. God is trying to tell you the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What happens to your life when you receive the Holy Spirit? Remember, in Luke 1:35, for Jesus to be born, the Holy Spirit had to intervene. That's when Angel Gabriel said, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is about the Virgin Mary. She was virgin. Now the angel tells Mary that you are going to birth a boy, a baby boy, a son, a holy one. Then Mary asked, how is this going to happen? She had never slept with a man. She was very happy preparing for the wedding with Joseph. Now here is a message that you are going to give birth. You are going to be pregnant. And the one you are going to birth is a holy one. She asked, how is this going to happen? That's when he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember, the Bible says that the seed of a woman will crush the devil's head. Now this is the beginning. The Holy Spirit comes in so that the seed of a woman crushes the devil's head. That's the first message that comes in. When you go down, Jesus tells the apostles in Acts 1:8. He tells the apostles that, you know what? The Spirit will come on you and give you power. That's when you will become my witness. The Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Why? He's giving out instructions. He's telling them something is going to happen. He was birthed because of the Holy Spirit. He's telling them the Spirit of God will come on you. And when the Spirit comes upon you, that's when you will have power. That's when you will become my witness. Yet he has been with them. They had seen him, but they had not understood him. They could not witness something. Even though they had moved with him, they could not be witnesses of Jesus unless the Holy Spirit had filled them. The point here, what you see here, they had trusted Jesus. But Jesus had been crucified. Remember, our leader is crucified. What happens to you? You become afraid. But he comes, that he says, no, no. First wait there until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That means they had trust in Jesus. Two, they believed in him. They believed in Jesus. Their hope was in Jesus, and they knew he would save them. The lessons here you see is that for you to get or to see the power of God, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the message. The first verse we read is the angel Gabriel said, when the Spirit of God will come upon you, you will be covered with the power. Here it is saying, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power and become my witness. In order for you to receive or to see the power of God working in you, moving, doing miracles, signs and wonders, you must receive the Holy Spirit. Two, how can you be a witness of God, of Jesus, if you don't have the Holy Spirit? It is impossible. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you become a witness of Jesus. Who is a witness? A witness is a person who has seen, who is ready to account for what has happened. He can testify. They cannot doubt him. This is what he's saying. But he's telling them, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when you can do that. I believe you are here. I know you want the power of God. But when we are going to call the Holy Spirit to fill you are going to experience that today. You will be a witness when you are testifying that this condition went away. This debt was cleared. This mortgage was cleared when I called the Holy Spirit and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I can testify about the goodness of God. His power came upon me. I don't know how it happened. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was solved. The problem was solved. Issues were taken away. On the day of Pentecost, this is what happened when the apostles were all together. On the day of Pentecost, this was in Acts 2 from 1 to 4. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a noise came like a wind, like a sound, and the Holy Spirit filled everyone. Flames of fire surrounded everyone who was in that room. That's the day when the apostles were being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit individually. They were together. Mama was singing a song that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that was a song, either the third song, it will deal with you personally. These were apostles, they were all together, okay? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Today, if the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit individually, they were all in one place. But walls of fire, flames of fire, separated them, and the power was coming on them. The Spirit was filling them. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's dealing with you individually. You may be a husband and a wife, but everyone must receive his own power. He must receive his own spirit. He must deal with God personally. It will separate you from every situation because you know what you are dealing with. Only when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, only when you are surrounded with the Holy Spirit, it comes to you individually. Even though they were all in one place, they were in agreement that the only place where we should receive the Holy Spirit is this place. But when it came, it separated everyone. It separated all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this is what is going to happen. This is what happens. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak in tongues. Maraka tapa tarako resefiko reba katarababa. Rikata ramanyara sefiko rebababa. The Spirit of God you are talking to God directly. In tongues, you begin to tell the people that I am healed. They are saying you are sick, but what you are speaking, I am healed, they will not understand. It's a different tongue. It's a different language. You are telling them, I am buying that building. You are telling them, my children are bright. My children are wise. The world is seeing differently. The situation looks to be different. Mortgages seem, the credit or your mortgage seems to be down, but for you are speaking a different language. That's when they say, is he mad? We see must be fighting for bankruptcy. But for you are saying, I am rich. The Bible says, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the curse, if you are cursed, say, I am blessed. That's a different language. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak a different language which the other people cannot understand. You are dealing with God. The power of God has come upon you. So the world will not understand you. Even though you were all in different, they were all in one place. But you have your own issue, which you are saying, you are asking God, can you restore this? You are saying your marriage is not working out. Can you restore this? Then God is saying, you are saying, no, it's going to stand. My marriage is there. The others are saying, no, it cannot. When the Spirit comes, you are speaking positivity. You are speaking your faith. And God is restoring what you are speaking. Because his power is dealing with you individually. Not in the realm. Not with what others think. They are seeing a person who is going to die. For you are seeing a person who is going to live the next 40 years. Yeah? So that's a different language. That's when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Your language will not be understood. And you see what happened when the Spirit came upon you. They received the power. They spoke in different languages. Next, they were all given power. Everyone is given power. But remember, there is one point again. Deuteronomy, it's in Deuteronomy 8:18. We just bypass there. The Spirit of God, but those shall remember the Lord the God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he saw into their Father, as it is this day. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it gives you power. That power helps you to create wealth. And God's covenant is established in you. A child of God, a Holy Spirit-filled person should not be lacking. There must be always abundance. There is always abundance. That's God's covenant. Remember in the first day when God created Adam and Eve, that's in Genesis 1:28. He told them, I have given everything. Go, you will have dominion over everything. You will multiply. You will have control. You are above. You control the sky, the waters, everything. That's what God meant for us. But the devil wanted to destroy. This is a restatement that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be filled with the power. And that power will give you, will create wealth. Will help you to create wealth. And to establish God's covenant. That was just a bypass. But we are in the outpowering of the Holy Spirit. Why the outpowering of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit to fill us? Why is it so much important? This goes to, before I can go there, before I go to the next verse, when the Holy Spirit fills you, people become confused. They don't understand you. Where the Spirit of God is, there is order. Holy Spirit works in an orderly manner. There is no confusion. But the other people, they become confused because they don't know what is happening in your life. That's a scripture. They were amazed and became confused. I think it is in Acts 1:12. People became confused. They were amazed. They didn't know what is happening. They began to laugh. They started laughing against the apostles because they could not understand what is happening. That's happening in your life. People are not going to understand you. People will not understand you. They will be confused because the Spirit of God is upon you. The Spirit of God will be upon you always. Now, let us go to Jesus himself. You may say, but you are talking about us being filled with the Holy Spirit. What about Jesus? Jesus was born holy. Holy. He was righteous. And in his younger years, he continued being holy. But until the day he was baptized at Jordan River by John, that's the day when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It came in the form of a dove. From there, he left the Jordan River. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. That's in the desert. Remember, I told you that the seed of a woman will crush the devil's head. He spent there 40 days. And that's when Satan came to tempt Jesus. That's when he started now to deal with the devil. To destroy the devil that you have no power. And by the time he left the desert, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, challenges may come. Issues may arise. But the Bible says, if you continue trusting in him, if you cling on him, if you stand with him, he will not abandon you. You will come out very powerful. You will come out a winner. You will challenge that problem and it will be no more. People will not understand because the Spirit of God will be upon you. Satan will try to see that you go down because Satan's aim is to push everyone not to rise up. That's why even when Jesus, the Son of God, Satan said, no, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, let me come. Let me show you the whole world. That's why my brothers who are still young, you still have to know that as you go through this life, when the mother, father is guiding you, listen, follow Jesus. Because the world may show you that everything is bright. The world may show you that everything is gold. Yet, it is taking you down. But when you have the Spirit of God, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when do you cling on Jesus, everything becomes normal. Let us go to the following verse. Luke 4:14-15. Jesus came out of, when he came out of Jordan, out of the desert. When Jesus came out of the desert, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. When he had been filled with the Holy Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon him, that's when now the world started talking about Jesus. Yet, he was there for the last 30 years. After being baptized, that's when news started moving around. That's when they started to talk about Jesus. We see his ministry for the next 3.5 years because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. For the next 3.5 years up to now, we talk about Jesus. His ministry sprang, moved everywhere up to now. You want it or not, you will talk about Jesus. You want it or not, but it was until the Holy Spirit had filled him. When you call the Holy Spirit, when you invite him to be your friend, when you partner with him, when you deal with him, you say, you are everything in me. There is something that will change in your life. Hope will be restored. Health will be restored. Your finances will be restored. Your business will grow. Everything you think, maybe if it's a broken family, my children are not understanding. Well, yeah, I'm trying to fix things with my children. They are saying they are not listening. Call the Holy Spirit. He will deal with them. Things will be in a different way because confusion will be washed away, and God will lead you. God will lead your life. God will lead that situation. God will cause that situation which is bothering you to respond to your cause, to align with what you are supposed to be. Now, what happens with the Holy Spirit? Remember again, to you, my brother, in Joel 2, you may be saying, but for me it is over. My age is beyond. I have issues of the Holy Spirit may not work for me. No. Still, God is still dealing with you. It's just the beginning. Joel 2:28-28. This is what the Bible says. I went back to Joel, but it is stated again in Acts, but we shall deal with Joel. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your younger men will see visions. You are saying I'm old. Let me first, younger men. For you, you are still young. You will receive visions and prophecy. I'm not saying that that's what you are supposed to do because you are looking at the future. Is it okay? Let us first pause there. Now, old men, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will dream a dream that is going to change your life, which you are going to build, which is going to cause the world to hear about you. The Bible is saying, I will pour out my spirit on all the men, and they will dream. That dream which seems to have been lost when you were young, God can give it back to you. It can be restored. I've heard of a story about KFC, the owner of KFC, that when he was either, that's why I said I heard. That means I am not a primary witness. I heard when he had almost retired, he looked on what to do. He had nothing. Everything, every pension was gone. But he remembered that he could prepare, he could organize chicken properly at his advanced age. That's after retirement. Today, my children in Uganda, they tell you, Daddy, today we want to go to KFC. This is in the old age. Don't say that my time is over. God can give you a dream that will change your life. You will dream about nations. You will dream about buildings. Your mission, your ministry, it will come at whatever age. God cannot forget you. God will deal with that dream. The only thing is, you must get someone who interprets your dream. You may be dreaming dreams that I see, that you dream going back to the school where you studied, doing exams. You dream going back where you grew up. Will you dream sleeping with your mother or father or any other person who died? No, there may be a message which is being which God is telling you. God is speaking to you. God speaks through dreams, visions, and prophecies, among others. Even if I had gone to Joshua, to Job, Job 33 from 14 to 18, the Bible says, it's not there. The Bible says, Job said that God speaks to us through dreams. Once he has spoken, twice, but men cannot remember. A dream will come, just a dream. You may not know its interpretation. But when there is a stronger message, that is bringing back your younger years. It's about getting who can interpret a dream. In a thousand, there is only one person who can interpret a dream. You remember the story of Joseph in Egypt. The story of Joseph, he was a dreamer in the father's house. We cannot go how until he was in prison. I will not go there. But when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had a dream, there was no person who could interpret. Until someone says, oh, there is someone in prison who could interpret a dream. And it was only Joseph who could interpret a dream that would save Egypt for the next 14 years. There was time there would be drought, time there would be plenty. It was only could be interpreted by one person, David. That's when younger men come in. They could see the vision. They could know what is happening in this dream. When we go to Babylon, that's in Daniel. Still in Daniel 4. It's not there. Daniel 4 and 5. We could see Daniel interpreting a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And what is common with these two people is that they were saying there is a man who has a spirit of God. Joseph had a spirit of God. And here they are saying Daniel had a spirit of God to interpret a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar about the tree. He had dreamed about trees. He could not understand. He called the magicians. They could deceive until when they called Daniel to interpret this. Then he said, oh, you've been powerful, but your kingdom is going to come down. Only when you have the spirit, it can be interpreted properly. So there is power in your dream. Sometimes, believe me or not, you may be dreaming going back to the school where you studied from, doing exam. Then you ask yourself, I did those exams years back. What does this dream deal with me? You are dreaming going to the place where you grew. Then you are asking, what is the relevance of this? There may be a message. There may be an interpretation, maybe. Even if you are old, there may be power. Maybe there was a business that was there, and the dream is telling you, you remember this dream? This is what happened when you were growing. If you go back and do this, it is going to change your life. It's an example. So, it's only when the Spirit of God comes upon you that you are able to get the dreams, visions, and prophecy. In Joel 2:29, it says, I will pour out my spirit on my servants. the pastors, pastors, preachers, servants of God, they are also going to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they can profess on you. Don't say, the Bible has just said only all people. Yes, but there is also another special anointing that comes with the pastors. Because the Bible could not have been specific with that verse. It's talking about our pastors, our leaders, spiritual leaders. Those servants of God. A prophecy is telling you, it may be a guidance or something telling you what is going to happen in the future. Only when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I said in a thousand, there is only one person who can interpret a dream. But also, with these pastors, our leaders and what, they must be led by the Spirit to prophesy in your life. A Holy Spirit filled person. Let me give an example of my pastor. I came to discuss with him a different thing. He asked me, but can you preach? I said, oh, I can. I had never preached. I had never preached in a church in Africa. No. I studied the Bible. I have qualification in the Bible. But I had not got that chance. But maybe. And I believe it was the Spirit of God that led him. Because not everyone can give you his microphone. Yeah? So you must have a Holy Spirit-filled person who ministers you, who is guiding you with the word of God. Only when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, my brothers and sisters, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, do you know what happens? Last month, We have been in a month, missions ministry month, isn't it? You go to, this time we are going to read as we conclude. When you go to Isaiah 61, from 1, from 1 to Isaiah 61. Okay, we shall read it. Just give me some few minutes. I'm about... The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It has chosen me to speak. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You people, I come from Africa. I understand what is happening in Africa. There is a video about baptism. It was a baptism on Easter Sunday. I almost cried. I know what is happening in Africa. Not every part, but the majority. That video when they were baptizing, it was in Mozambique. These are children of God who want the Spirit, the God, to come to their life. But if you, I had not asked for that video. If you see that water, they are trying. That shows the level of what is happening there. That water, that where they were being baptized in that water. Really, I cried in my heart. I said, but God, can't you do something in my life? Can we change this life? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will speak to the poor and you say they are rich. Our pastor had that vision. Today is helping millions and millions of children in Senegal and Mozambique, just only because the Spirit of God is upon him. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak to the poor, and you say you are rich, and you will be able to uplift their life. You will tell the prisoners that you are free. I don't know what prison you are in. It may be a prison of debts. It may be a prison of non-forgiveness. Someone treated you badly. It has stuck on your heart. That's a prison. I don't know, it may be a disease. There is an illness you are going through. It's a prison. But God is saying, I have the Spirit and I'm speaking. You are free. You are healed. It is no longer more. It's no longer more. It ends now. That's when the Spirit comes upon you. The Bible says, he has sent me to bind up the broken hearted. Someone broke your heart. You helped. You did what you could. But it did not help. When the Spirit comes upon you, it's over. It's my prayer for you that it ends there. God is restoring you. God is giving you that normalcy that you are supposed to be. You are not supposed to move with a broken heart. God amends the brokenhearted. It's time when the Spirit must come now down and fill you and restore that life you had. You may have had your dream of being somewhere. Maybe you are in class. Things are not adding up. You are studying, but you are failing. No. God is saying you are wise and you are going to make it. You will overcome that situation. You will overcome it. Healing is coming. Healing, God is restoring your organs. Something may not be adding up. I don't know what you are battling with, but that prison ends now. When the Spirit comes upon you, that prison comes, it ends to an end. You may be spiritually blind because it's saying, the Bible is saying, I am to speak to the blind. There's somewhere it says, if you can go down, if you can go down. Okay, let us read it, okay. To proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners. Let's go down. And proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Before we go there. Just leave it there. It is saying that I'm going to speak to the brokenhearted. Now, not tomorrow. And everything is going to be okay. He's saying I am speaking to those who are blind. You may be seeing me, but when there is something which you don't see, in your life, you are moving, you are chasing to see something, but it's not being shown. God is saying, I'm opening your eyes. There is that spiritual sight is being restored. Spiritual sight is being restored. You are going to see the goodness of the Lord. You are going to touch that thing you've been fighting for. You've been proclaiming. That's why I say, call the Holy Spirit. Partner with the Holy Spirit. Move with the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit. Make him your friend. Publish him. Let me give you an example. This is a personal example, which may it should not be misinterpreted. Our pastor would be say, has been saying, help us, okay, do something for Senegal and Mozambique. You are partnering with the Holy Spirit. That is spreading the Holy Spirit. These people are not going to remain the same. They will know that there was a man who sent us this, and it was through Jesus or the Holy Spirit who made us go through this situation. He restored our hope in our country. We could not go to school. We could not have anything to eat. We had now nowhere to sleep. We were finished. But when the Spirit of God came upon the pastor, things were restored. Partner with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Psalms 68, a certain verse, either 12 or 12. Happy is the company who publishes the Holy Spirit. The gospel is free, but spreading it is expensive. Brothers and sisters, let us invite the Holy Spirit. Let us partner with the Holy Spirit. I don't know the situation, you can explain it, but explain it with the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Make him your friend. Sometimes we go crazy. And very early in the morning, I say, Holy Spirit, good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And I move. Make him your friend. He will be your friend. When you invite him, he will come in you. Let me take about 2 minutes to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this moment, but it's time. Fill these people. Fill everyone. Fill everyone. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill them. Handle their issues. You know their tasks. You know their obligations. You know their everything they are going through. Good or bad, you are the enabler who can restore this situation. You are the one who can align what you meant us for good. You always mean good for us. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move with these people. They should not live the way they came. They should glorify. We shall publish you. We shall testify about the goodness of God because you have come and restored that situation. You have restored our condition. You are dealing with us individually. You are giving us power to handle this situation, that issue that has been bothering us. You are opening our eyes. The blind are seeing. The lame are walking. That lame situation is no longer lame. You are speaking to us. You are giving us power. The credits are being restored. Mortgages are being cleared. Healness is no more. Lord, we thank you that you are providing to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We magnify you. We praise you. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Amen. Amen. We have prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Carlson, we're going to enter into a time of communion now. I want to read to you one more verse real quick. I don't want to preach a second message. He did fine, but There's one verse in the Pentecost story that's always struck me in Acts 2, and it's not in there. Stephen really had a battle today up here, but he did good. Acts 2:5 says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." On the day of Pentecost, God saw fit to have people from every nation on earth in Jerusalem, on the day that he sent the Holy Spirit. Why? So that the gospel of Jesus could be heard in every language and then be sent home to all of those nations. All of those people that were in Jerusalem that day had come there for business, and they would now return home having heard the gospel and having received the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what's that? Yeah. So the gospel is meant for every nation, and we must not lose sight of that. Right? All right, let's do communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the old covenant, an animal had to be sacrificed, and they would cut the animal up according to the prescribed means that God gave in the Old Testament. And so Jesus says, "Now I'm taking my body and I'm allowing my body to be cut up to be that animal that you used to have to bring. This is my body now broken or cut up for you." And he said, "Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." So as we eat this bread, which represents the cut up and broken body of Jesus, we remember that he made that sacrifice on the cross, and with the whipping and the scourging that happened before the cross, to take away the penalty of our sin and to take away the need for an animal sacrifice. Again, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the old covenant, in the Old Testament, when they would cut off that animal, when they would sacrifice that animal, on the altar, they were large horns, and the priest would take the blood out of the animal, and he would spread it onto the horns on the altar to make an appeasing sacrifice to the Lord to atone for our sins. And Jesus says, "Now all you have to do is remember that I spilled my blood, and I effectually put it on the horns of the altar to pay the price for your sin. So when you drink of this, remember that I did that for you." As Paulson said in his message, the gospel is free, although it came at a great cost to Jesus. But what we're remembering here is that sacrifice that Jesus made and the great personal price that he paid. And we looked at a verse a few weeks ago here in one of my messages that said, Jesus says, "I give my life freely, no one takes it from me." Jesus willingly, from a place of love, gave us his body and his blood that we might be able to remember the sacrifice he made to take away our sins. The way we do communion here is you'll take a piece of the bread, you'll dip it into the juice and receive it together, or you can take one of our little handy packs there if you'd prefer that. Anyone can come to the table. You don't have to be a member of this church. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to join us at this table. There's a station here and there's a station in the back. The worship team is going to lead us in worship, and as you prepare yourself and come, you can come up here or come up to the one in the back.